You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
What is good, everybody? Welcome to another SB Nation NFL show. This is The Look Ahead. I'm Rob Stats-Guerrera from Niners Nation. And with me, as always, on a Friday, my man looking good with that dog t-shirt. I like it. From Blogging the Boys, RJ Ochoa. What's up, RJ?
Stats got that BFE, Big Friday Energy. I've seen this take floating around the internet, and I'm sure that you agree. When you're an adult, when you have kids, like however you want to classify it, Friday is the only week. Because Saturday, you got chores. Saturday night, you're getting ready for Sunday to get more chores done. Friday night is the only, you know, if you want to like order pizza or watch a movie, it happens on Friday night. You start the party on Friday afternoon. For me, the party starts when I get to hear your beautiful baritone voice swirling through my audio sphere.
Wow. Well, I appreciate it. I'm glad to start off your start and finish, I guess, your weekend every week. We want to remind everybody, please rate, review, follow the SB Nation NFL show. Before we get to a couple of reviews, I should point out that we are brought to you by the DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app today. Use the promo code SBNNFL to get a special offer when you sign up. Even if you're not making a football bet, that's fine. Whatever bet you want to make, use the promo code SBNNFL for that special offer only at DraftKings. RJ, you got a couple reviews for us.
I do. Well, first of all, if you don't want to bet on football, maybe you want to bet on the Houston Astros, team with the best record in the American League, team that sort of inspired last week's episode of The Look Ahead. You know, just a nice little callback there, just, you know, throwing things out. But anyway, we do have two new reviews. If you write a review on the SB Nation NFL show, we will read it. We are contractually obligated. The first one, very short, very simple, from Geo, as in geography, B as in Bengals, the dumb logo the Bengals have, and then Frog. So GOB Frog, caption or title is Stats is Back. All caps back. I don't know where you left to. .. So also like Stats is Back. You know, like there's some like a bit of a cliffhanger there. Anyway, 5-star rating, and it just reads, "And awesome. Thanks. Huzzah." So big shout out for you, Stats.
I appreciate it, GOB Frog. I don't really know where I went. I did have to miss 1 week, but I mean, usually I'm here. So, but nonetheless, if you're happy, I'm happy.
One final review came this past Monday, and I can promise you that I will read it again this coming Monday. By the way, Stats, I'm just going to ask you now. Again, I don't know if Pete Sweeney still works here, but he cannot do Monday Football Monday. I know you did it this past week. Do you want to do it this coming week?
Maybe. I'm actually interviewing Jerry Rice on Monday. So there might be a timing issue.
That's why we should have planned this before we started recording. But I'm that professional. So whatever. We'll talk about that later. Maybe Stats will be on Monday Football Monday. Maybe he will not. This will be there again. It comes to us from Coles with an underscore at the end, titled "The Time Has Come." 5-star rating. It's a bit long, so I'm going to sprint through it. I just got to say, there is no better source of NFL content than the SB Nation podcast.
You don't have to read the whole thing. Just read the interesting
part. The listener wrote this. I just got to say there is no better source of NFL content than the SB Nation podcast, save perhaps the actual NFL games. The Look Ahead, the off day debrief, RIP, BGN podcast as an Eagles fan, and kicking off my week with Monday Football Monday, on which the fantastic hosts are deservingly awarded the prestigious MF double MVP. But I believe the time has come for me and all the rest of the loyal listeners, the chosen hour, the stars alignment. I would like to humbly request of Rachel that her vote for MF double MVP be given to the listeners on the week this is read. My humble thanks for your consideration on behalf of myself and the rest of the LLL Loyal Listeners Legion. Sincerely, the reviewer formerly known as Big Pig. Big Pig left some reviews, on the NFC East mixtape, which people can listen to on any of the Blogging the Boys, Bleeding Green Nation, Hogshaven, or Big Blue View podcast networks.
Thank you for that review. I don't give out the MF double MVP, so you have to take it up with Rachel, although I did win one without actually being on the show. So, you know, just want everybody to remember that. Okay, RJ, we got to get right to it because I'm supposed to be in a good mood today. I'm supposed to be in a great mood today. Preseason football is here. Trey Lance is going to play tonight. I'm all fired up to watch like the one series he's actually going to get. I should be in a good mood, but I'm not in a good mood. Why? Because of the Washington Commanders. It's very simple. Mm. Just before we came on, I saw an interaction on Twitter, and it all comes from an interview that Carson Wentz gave with Scott Abraham of 7 News, local affiliate there. Yes, why are you pointing?
Stats, might I suggest and posit, we're doing this live, this kind of happened right before we started, but maybe for the podcast audience, you put the audio right here.
Real talk here, Carson. It's been well documented. Philly didn't want you. Indy didn't want you. Do you think this is your last chance to prove that you can be a starting quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, you know, I don't really think about all that stuff. For me, I'm playing the game that I love, and I have the most confidence of anybody in myself to deliver, to play at a high level, to, you know, be a part of something special here with this team. And so I don't put all that pressure on myself. I don't put, you know, people can feel that way. People can say what they want, and I have no issue with that. You know, that is what it is. But for me, I don't think in those terms.
Then Jason Wright, a.k.a. the president of the Washington Commanders, quote tweeted that portion of the interview and said, "Thankfully, Carson demonstrated grace and class in response to this pompous, unprofessional mess. I recognize you have made a living on childlike provocation, but it needs to be called out. Don't expect special access and good luck building rapport with the guys." Holy hell, is that a pile of garbage. The only one that was unprofessional in this little triangle is you, Jason Wright. And the fact that not only did you express frustration with the question, which was totally legitimate, but you also tried to personally attack the interviewer by saying that he has made a living on childlike provocation. That is utterly pathetic. And then he throws in this threat at the end there. Don't expect special access. If we can't ask real questions, access is useless. And I am so sick and tired of these organizations acting like we should get down on our knees and thank God that we get access to these amazing, incredible athletes. It is pathetic. It was a totally legitimate question. And Jace, this is why the Commanders never win anything and they've been a disaster for years. This is just like the epitome of the cesspool that is that franchise, and I just can't take it anymore, RJ.
I mean, I think everything you said is really valid and really fair. And I mean, you're obviously emotionally charged, but I don't think it's emotionally driven. Look, I benefit greatly from the Commanders being a terribly run franchise, both personally and professionally, right? Like, it makes me happy as a Cowboys fan. It also helps me, you know, make some content of my own. Like, when they're bad, it's, you know what I mean? Like, it's easy to dunk on this kind of stuff. And that's where, like, Jason Wright makes it too easy to dunk on them, you know? And I know I've been hard on Ron Rivera in the past. I don't want to make light of how difficult this job is, right? To turn this ship around. Like, I mean, it's not an easy thing to turn something 180 degrees around. So I think it's admirable that Jason Wright has thrown his full effort, his full energy into that. I think on one hand, I really do think it's admirable that he would protect his player like this, right? Obviously, Carson Wentz is your quarterback.
Protect him from what?
Hang on. Like, or maybe not protect, but stand up for, right? Like, if you feel that way, you know, whatever, et cetera, it is admirable in a literal sense to stand up for Carson Wentz. Okay. But I said that you were emotionally charged, but you're not emotionally reactive. Sometimes we as humans can be emotionally reactive, right? And there are a lot of things where we get clarity after the fact and we say, you know what, I shouldn't have done that. Or I'm grateful I didn't do that when I was emotionally charged, right? That maybe wouldn't have been the best thing for me professionally or personally, whatever the case may be. And I do think that we've seen too much of this from Jason Wright. Like, I think he has acted as if being the team president means he's a fan. And I want to be very clear. I think it's dumb when people try to separate being a fan. Like, if you're a true Washington fan, Jason Wright, respect. Fly that flag high. Like, I encourage that. I want to see that. I think it's, like I said, it's dumb when people are like, oh, reporters or analysts can't be fans of teams. Like, that's a stupid thing to me. But this is like overly, like, this act, nobody wins here. No, like, and Carson doesn't win. And I feel for Carson. If anyone has stood up, I feel like I've stood up for Carson in an appropriate manner, in an objective manner, all offseason long, right? To this point, all you accomplish here, if you're Jason Wright, is you, like, if we just list it out, you further establish that the, you know, what it, culture or the professionalism of what you're building is not real. You isolate a prominent member of the DC media who covers your team. You only incite the fact that this is this type of behavior and these sorts of things are going to continue to happen. There's not a media member who is on Jason Wright's side here, right? Like, Jason Wright's making the threat, like, oh, watch out, this is going to happen to you. Like, nobody, like, if he thinks he's getting softballs now from the media, so to speak, or Rivera's or Wentz's, like, oh my gosh, like, he has only exacerbated this issue and made it worse. Carson Wentz is a loser here because now Carson Wentz looks like, oh, look, your team president has to, you know, that's dumb, but people will say it. Like nobody wins here. It is completely, it's more than unprofessional. It's just a bad idea. You know, like, to call it unprofessional isn't properly encompassing the sector of mistake that this is.
And then, so Jason Wright and Mike Florio have been going back and forth about this on Twitter. And Florio basically writes, this is the problem with league and team-owned media. They get used to puff and fluff. Jason's response was, you can honestly say Philly didn't want you, Indy didn't want you is an appropriate tone. What, like, what, again, what, I don't have to approach Carson Wentz with this reverence, okay? Everybody and their mother knows that that's the deal with Carson Wentz. It's true. The Eagles didn't want him, and the Colts have told everybody in the world they didn't want him, and they both traded him. You don't trade players that you want. So by definition, what Scott Abraham said there is true. And if it's true, how can it be unprofessional? I just hate that that we have to act with such deference to these players. Like, no. And then they get used to all this puff and fluff. And when they do get asked the real question, everybody bristles, right? And then we got to hear about all this new media garbage. It's just pathetic, man. It is pathetic by Washington. Jason Wright, that is such a weak move. And you're just flat wrong. And obviously, I'm upset about this because I think it applies to not only sports, but also outside of sports. And it just drives me nuts that you people get mad when you speak truth to quote unquote power.
I disagree, obviously. You obviously disagree with Jason Wright having a problem with this. That's one tentacle of this issue. But another is the attack, right? And, we've all made mistakes. Like, there are some things I've done personally, professionally, that I wish I had and that I've learned from, grown from, established clarity from, as mentioned. And I think to say, if I was 7 News, you know what I mean? Like, I would, if I was Scott, you know, boss, if I was the Jason Wright in his life, man, the Commanders would be getting an earful from me. Like, calling him pompous like that. And so, like, beyond the fact that that's unprofessional, that it's mean, right? Like, it's mean-spirited. It's also incredibly hypocritical to say unprofessional mess. Jason Wright, your team oversaw, like, and I just mean the entire history of this franchise, but your team, like, if we're just talking about Jason right here, your team oversaw the ceremony regarding Sean Taylor. You allowed for that to be this cover, you know, for all the dysfunction swirling around the franchise. You allowed for his legacy to be used like that. You not only allowed for it, you allowed for the improper celebration with the missteps that had and the Jackson Mahomes and all the stuff stepping on the logo. You oversaw the crew that put the wrong years, you know, celebrating your Super Bowl titles. And you know what I'm saying? Like, it is so unbelievable. And so that's what I'm saying. Like, on a very, very, very small microscopic level, I can respect the passion associated with wanting to protect somebody within your realm, the way he is seemingly doing. But the time has come, it has been time to admit that this dude is not very good at this job. And I know that the Commanders do not want to, and look, I make mistakes at my job all the time, but like, can you name a thing that he has overseen that you've been like, wow, they get it? Like, the Commanders, they're headed in the right direction. No, they continue to step in mud along the way and burn every bridge in the process.
I just want to reiterate that Carson Wentz doesn't need protection. He's not under attack. He was asked a legitimate question. That's like, I cannot tolerate that. I hate this whole, well, if you don't do everything we like and treat everybody nice and puff them up, then you don't get access. Access without asking real questions is pointless. It serves no one. The point of the people that do our job, RJ, is to serve the audience. It is a service job. We are in position to talk to these people, so we have a responsibility to ask the questions that they want asked and to ask them in a way that the fans talk about their team. And if your main quibble with this question is that Scott Abraham didn't say, well, Carson, you've been traded twice. Is this your last chance to be a starting quarterback? Like, that's really what you take issue with? Carson Wentz is a big boy. He can handle it. It's absurd. I hope Washington loses every single freaking game they play from now until the end of time. Get out of here with that. Miss me with that garbage.
Now you're an official member of the NFC East mixtape, if you feel that way. but, oh. I mean, it is, there are, like I said, there are different tentacles of lameness to this, right? Like, you've described a lot of them, and we I do feel like we're kind of hitting all bases. Like, we're kind of on fire right now. Like, I do feel like we're turning some double plays here. Like, we're working in synchronization. Because, like, you're right. It's super lame. I think Carson deserves credit for answering the question. And you're right. Like, he's, you know, and again, I am king of, you know, restoring the, you know, microscopic amount of Carson Wentz narrative that is left to salvage, but that is my kingdom, Jason. All right, back off. I've been on this corner for a while. But so Carson deserves credit for that. I think Scott, like, maybe you can argue that it was, you know, you could have been a little bit, you know, like, but hang on. I see your face for the podcast signs. Maybe you can argue that he could have been a little bit softer with that, but
why?
It's not necessary. Maybe you just like, maybe you think nobody should speak to people that way. I don't think it was aggressive or wrong, but like, again, if you're trying to be as nice as possible, you could have done it differently. And that's where you can disagree. Like, I don't think he's wrong. I don't think the question was unfair. I think the question's important. I think the question is completely fair as it relates to Carson, as it relates to the Commanders, as it relates to why the Commanders traded for him. If two teams got rid of him, didn't want him, etc., why did the Commanders want him? I mean, it's just, this is so bad and dumb and wrong. This team does not need more reason to be a dysfunction. Yet Jason Wright has given them reason after reason after reason after reason over the last year. I'm not trying to say, like, you know, because people, like, you know, armchair quarterback the situation, be like, oh, just do this, just do that. But like, it's I recognize there are a lot of things that go into different things that Jason Wright oversees. But the things he does, dude, delete your Twitter. I mean, like you are offering no favors to the team right now. Nobody won here. And everybody lost, but chief among them was obviously Jason Wright.
Big loser energy, to take a page from our friend Brandon Lee Gowden. It's just, why? I don't have to be as nice as possible when I interview somebody. I don't have to ask the question in the most kind way possible. As long as the question is not unfair, it's not unprofessional, period. End of story. And to personally attack the reporter, that's the unprofessional thing. And oh, by the way, this is not the only time that this franchise has gone out of their way to attack the media for coverage that is not flattering to the team. Daniel Snyder has a history of doing this with radio stations.
He's literally being, like, sued for behavior related to that. I mean,
it's just so pathetic. And I've said all I can say about it, but it infuriated me. I did not even plan to, like, know this was a thing or talk about this at all. But then you and I started talking about it right before we came on, and I had to get it out because it was going to just ruin my day. Let me take a second, take a drink of water. We could take a quick break. And then when we come back, we can react to some of the preseason stuff last night and maybe look ahead to some of what is to come in the first week of the preseason.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Listen, I'm 24 and I still live at home. Like, what? For sure. Are you kidding me? My man and I, we attempted to move out.
Yeah, that'll be $1,600 for a studio apartment, not including groceries.
Last fall, the National Association of Realtors released data showing that housing affordability had fallen to its lowest point since the 1980s for reasons of economy, American.
There just aren't a lot of home sales going on. And there's really kind of a standoff right now between buyers and sellers.
That standoff leads to another kind of standoff.
It's always fun being 40-something years old and having to live with your parents again. And I know it's all my fault.
Sir, I don't know your life, but on Today Explained, a two-part series on how it might not be your fault. Our housing reality bites and the American dream is in your childhood bedroom. Series sponsored by Mint Mobile. Today Explained, in your feed every weekday.
And I'll tell my mom, Mom, I'm going to the bathroom, I'll be back. If I'm not out in like 3 minutes, dog, she's like knocking on the door going, everything okay in there? Yeah, Mom, everything's cool, dog.
All right, RJ, I wanted to start the show talking about, actual football, which took place last night and is going to take place this weekend. Preseason week one, it is here. I was watching the games last night. Couple of things I want to get into with you. You want to start Giants-Patriots or you want to start Titans-Ravens? Where do you want to go?
Wow. So we're not going Field of Dreams. Interesting. I don't care. I'm down for whatever stats. I'm your oyster.
Let's start Giants-Patriots because the big narrative with the Patriots, or not narrative, it's a real story, is that they're essentially splitting play calling duties on the offensive side of the ball between Matt Patricia and Joe Judge. If this was anybody else, RJ, I would pound them into the ground, right? Because this seems to be a crazy idea to me. We've never seen anything like this before, but this isn't anybody else doing it. It's the New England Patriots. It's Bill Belichick. They have a history of being first on a lot of things that once the Patriots do it, other teams copy because they've had success with it. So I want to be fair here before I jump all over them. Is there any positive aspect to this? Is there something that we are missing that this, why this might actually be a good thing, what New England is doing?
I don't know how it can be a good thing. I can't answer that question. Okay. But I can say that I'm with you. Like, I do think we probably should have done a show like most overblown stories of the off season, or maybe we still do that, like of training camp. Oh, that's what we're doing on Monday. Boom. We're totally workshop. This has been one of those things that's been like generated headlines and, you know, been like a point of like, you know, I don't know, discussion, I guess. But like, I'm not trying to be like anything Bill Belichick touches is gold. He's perfect. He's infallible. That's not my point. I recognize that he has flaws, and the Patriots obviously are deserving of criticism in the post Brady era, and Belichick is as well. But if anyone deserves the benefit of the doubt, you know, I'm willing to give it to Bill Belichick. Like, I don't think it's like, you know, I think sometimes we get so lost in like our fandom and the hysteria of things that we just like we allow ourselves to believe that like this professional organization, especially one like the Patriots with all, you know, the success that they've had, is just like purposefully doing something incredibly stupid. You know what I mean? Like I don't find that to be true. Now it's suspicious, you know, suspicious of it. I don't understand how you would, you know, want to put all your eggs in the Matt Patricia, Joe Judge co-led basket. But again, if I'm inclined to trust anyone involved overseeing those two dudes it's the one dude who's overseeing those two dudes in Bill Belichick.
And Belichick was asked about it after the game, and all he kept repeating, his go-to line was, "We're going through a process," which is frustrating because, you know, people tried to follow up and whatnot, and he just kept repeating it over and over again. My follow-up would have been,
"Wow, you mean he didn't like react and yell at them and call them unprofessional and pompous? What a weirdo."
Right. Imagine that. My question to Bill would have been like, to get to what, Bill? Like, what the, you're going through this process, okay, in the hopes that you eventually figure out who's better, you eventually end up using this dual play calling system throughout the year. Like, what is the goal of the process? That's what I would want to know.
I mean, I think the goal would be like to win, like, you know, to have a successful offense, to score more points than the other team, right? But again, I just have a hard time getting worked up about this. Like, it's easy to get worked up about some other stuff. Like, I really am in like wait and see. Like, you know, like, how many staffers have trotted through New England over time that looked, you know, looked like a duck and smelled like a duck only to be a swan? You know what I mean? Like, that has just been the way that they have operated. They have brought back people. They have, you know, generated all sorts of head coaches that were terrible. Like, it's just, you know, it's something in the water there that if you're not Bill Belichick and you're on the staff, that you are perfect in every single capacity.
Do you think this is good for Mac Jones, for a quarterback going into his second year? You know, I thought one of the sort of under talked about storylines is the fact that Mac Jones lost Josh McDaniels this year. That's a huge deal. Josh McDaniels is a really good offensive mind. And then not only did you lose Josh McDaniels, you replaced him with Matt Patricia, who's never called offensive plays in his life, and Joe Judge. That's a huge step down. And now you're splitting it between the two. Like, it seems really weird to me. If it were me, I root for a team with a young quarterback. I would not be happy with this scenario. You know, continuity is a huge factor in the development of players, especially early in their careers. And this is a giant break in continuity.
I think it's funny, like, how people talk out of both sides of their mouth. Like, who's the best new head coach in the NFL right now? Like, of the coaches who are in new positions right now, who's the best one in your mind?
I mean, Mike McDaniel, Doug Peterson.
Sure, if you want to, yeah.
I mean, he's got a Super Bowl ring, so I'll go with Peterson.
Okay, so that's the best. Who do you think is going to have the most success this year? And I promise this isn't a topic. It's just a general question.
Of all the new guys, probably, yeah, Todd Bowles.
Okay, that's a little bit cheating, but so Todd Bowles aside, Mike McDaniel.
I'm out on Tua, so I'm gonna
Kevin O'Connell there. Kevin O'Connell's my pick, but
Minnesota.
But my point,
yeah,
is like, okay, but my point is there are a lot of people who are like, yeah, the Raiders, like Josh McDaniel. Yeah. So like these same people are like, I don't believe in the Raiders or Josh McDaniel. But oh my gosh, Mac Jones is now like Josh McDaniel's list. You know,
different job. Like, it's a different job.
I know they're different
though.
Jobs, but like, I don't think you can say both things, you know, in total seriousness. And I also think like it was dumb because it was Tom Brady of all people, but like Tom Brady loses Josh McDaniels after like 11 years of working together, whatever, a little bit more of a big deal. Like, we act like, how is now all of a sudden Mac Jones is rudderless without Josh McDaniels? He had Josh McDaniels for one season. You know what I mean?
I think it's the complete opposite. Losing Josh McDaniels after 11 years is no big deal because you know the system like the back of your hand at that point. Mac doesn't yet.
But the system isn't McDaniels. The system is Belichick. Like, that's why I'm saying, like, I don't mean that, like, that's such a like lame catch all to be like Belichick this, Belichick, like, I'll just Belichick everything away. That's not what I'm trying to do. But like, I give that situation and that team the benefit of the doubt. I give that coach the benefit of the doubt. And, you know, Mac Jones, clearly the best quarterback drafted a year ago. So I mean, like, the situation has enough like meat to trust and to give it the benefit of the doubt into the regular season.
I don't think people are talking out of both sides of their mouth in this situation. And I'll give you the perfect example. And I know you know this better than anybody, RJ. You tell me I get an offense that's coordinated by Norv Turner, I'm all in. Awesome. Yes, please sign me up. You tell me I get a team head coached by Norv Turner, no, thank you. Some guys are just better at one job over the other. Head coach is a different job. So I understand why you could say Mac Jones, this is a big loss for him by losing Josh McDaniels, while also not being all in on the Raiders, because Josh McDaniels, last time we saw him, was not a very good head coach.
I know, but that like whole thing works different ways too. I mean, like, and I don't mean to spawn off into like a, you know, different discussion, but it's like Kyle Shanahan, right? Like nobody references like, oh, Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator of the Falcons that blew a 28-3 lead. But, oh, well, Dan Quinn was the head coach of the team that blew a 28-3 lead. You know what I mean? Like it, like we ascribe certain things like in the ways we want to do it. And so now it's absurd. Like Kyle Shanahan. Yeah, I know. I'm not trying to like take shots at Kyle Shanahan, but like now it's like Kyle Shanahan as a head coach. It's like, oh, he's perfect and he's an awesome head coach. But even when Dan Quinn joined the Cowboys as just a defensive coordinator a year ago, and you heard the chatter, and he obviously turned out awesome, but like the chatter was like, I don't know, man, that's the dude who blew the 28-3 lead. You know what I mean? Like there was, and I don't know what it was like the year San Francisco hired Kyle Shanahan, if there was a lot of like, I don't know if we're making a mistake, but like it's weird how we pick certain things and we're like, this is only this person's fault, and the another person involved had nothing to do with it. And so that's where I think we're like, oh, the, and I know you're not doing this, but like the success of the New England Patriots offense is ascribed only to Josh McDaniels, and it's impossible that Matt Patricia or Joe Judge could contribute any line of success. And I'm not saying I believe in those dudes, but I mean I believe in the collective, and they're a part of the collective.
I mean, I agree that you can't say 100% of the offense's offensive success was due to McDaniels, but like he gets the biggest part of it. He's the offensive coordinator. It's literally his job to oversee the entire offense. And you're right about that Falcons team, by the way. Can anybody name the defensive coordinator for the Falcons that year that they blew the 28-3 lead? We can name the offensive coordinator for some reason who they were up 28 points, but you can't name the defensive coordinator, and we don't blame the defensive head coach for blowing that lead either. That's okay.
They do blame the defensive head coach. That's what I'm saying. Dan Quinn gets the blame.
When the 49ers lost the Super Bowl, it was Kyle Shanahan blew a second lead. It was absurd.
What I will say, just two things. The reason I don't blame the defense, who was the defensive coordinator? Do you even know? Or are you
Richard
just like asking
Smith.
That? Okay, well, that would be why. But like I don't blame Richard. I blame Dan Quinn, certainly. I blame Matt Ryan, which is why I'm not like a big Matt Ryan believer. But I blame the offense because I feel like the game was lost when the Falcons were on offense. And some of that was like the Devonta
How
Freeman.
How could that be?
No, well, hang on. Because the game really, like the biggest moment of the game isn't the Julio catch or whatever. Like it's the Devonta Freeman missed block and the Dante Hightower force fumble on Matt Ryan. Like that's the swing moment of the game. Like
defense didn't stop the Patriots.
I'm not saying the defense did not contribute to the demise. I'm saying like that's, if I have to pick a catalytic moment, it's that one. But the other reason I was going to make a joke, the other reason I think of Kyle Shanahan is because he left his playbook in at media night. Remember that?
Not ideal.
I always think about that. So yeah.
All right. So anyway, that was my Patriots rant. For the Giants side of things, like, why don't they just start Tyrod Taylor? Like, what are we doing with Daniel Jones? Like, Taylor looked good. He looked like he always looks, you know, like an adequate professional quarterback that can't do it all by himself, but is fully capable of taking a good team around him to the playoffs. Like, what are they doing with Daniel Jones? They're not signing him again. They didn't even pick up his fifth-year option. What are they doing? It's just a waste.
Okay, I hate to defend the New York Giants, but they're not the Commanders, so I don't feel like yucky doing it. But who is more like, if you could have one right now, if I could tell you stats, one of these two quarterbacks has to start for you week one 2023. You have Taylor. To pick one over Daniel Jones.
1,000%.
See, like, I mean, I've seen everything from Tyrod Taylor, and I'm not saying I think he's bad, but like, it's not likely, but it's more possible that a franchise quarterback lives within Daniel Jones than it does it in Tyrod Taylor at this point. That's how I feel. Like, there is an athlete within Daniel Jones. And so I'm willing to, like, if you're the Giants, this year is all about experimentation. That's all this is. It's about learning and growing and developing. And if Daniel Jones, you know, plays well and you got to pay him, so what? Pay him. Like, you got a franchise tag him, so what? Place the tag on him. Like, if he's I would much rather go down that side of the fork in the road.
Hold on. There's an athlete within Daniel Jones. Tyrod Taylor's not athletic. Like, what are we? One guy fell down, tripped over his own feet.
He's younger, so he offers more long-term promise. That's, you know, that's really what this
we
comes
have
down to.
Squeezed all the juice out of Daniel Jones. He's been in the league for 3 years. There's no mystery here, right? Like, it's not like he's only played 1 year. We know what he is. He's a pumpkin. I would much rather have Tyrod Taylor.
You could also argue that he's not had, and like, ultimately, if you're a good player, you're a good player, and you find ways to persevere. But you could argue he hasn't exactly had a stable coaching situation to play in or thrive in. I mean, he had Pat Shurmur, and I mean, Lord knows, he had Jason Garrett as his offensive coordinator for 2 years. I mean, when the whole world was like, this is a dumb idea, and they did it. The Giants did it because they believe in the New York football Giants, blue collar, yeah, ooh, yeah, big blue, hoorah. Like, no, it's just... You're a disaster. By the way, Jason Garrett really in the media machine now. Like, he's all over the place. Did you see he got some love in Peter King's Football Morning in America this past week?
No, I have no interest in that. It
was Peter King and he and two staffers and Garrett that drove from, I think, Wisconsin to Canton. They drove from somewhere to Canton, and it was like a several hour long drive, and they played 20 questions. In the car, and I just thought I would in no. Actually, I don't know. I could tell you from personal experience, he's a really interesting dude, Jason Garrett. Terrible football coach, but really interesting guy. If you, Jason and I, you know, had a couple brews, you made some of your famous chili or whatever that stupid stuff you make is, like, you know, it'd be a good time. I can promise you that.
Are you disparaging my dip?
That's what it is. The weird dip. I couldn't remember what it was.
It's dip. It sounds chili so with no gross. Beans. Cream cheese, sliced peppers, olives.
You're not making me regret anything that I've said about this to this point. So.
Good, man. All right. Before we go, we should get to the other game, Titans-Ravens. And this is sort of along the same line, RJ. What are the Titans doing? If you drafted Malik Willis, just start him. What are you doing with Ryan Tannehill? The Titans were the number one seed last year going into the playoffs, right? Did anybody think that they were going to win the Super Bowl? Did anybody have any faith in them that they were going to? No. Everybody knew they weren't winning the Super Bowl. Everybody knew. So what are you doing trotting Ryan Tannehill out there for another year? Go with Malik and figure out if you've got a guy. Because if you do, the clock's ticking on that rookie contract. You have to know. So you got to load up on talent while that guy is cheap. To just waste another year with Ryan Tannehill, well, great. We win 10 games. Maybe we go to the playoffs, whatever. Like, that doesn't do anything for you.
So Malik was 6 of 11 for 107 yards. He did have 5 carries for 38 yards in the touchdown that everybody saw. I don't know, man. Like, he's definitely a bit raw. I mean, like, that was pretty obvious. What I will say, and look, I'm not the one who came out here and embarrassed myself last week and was like, oh, the Titans won the trade against the Philadelphia Eagles involving A.J. Brown, blah, blah, blah. The Titans. I mean, that was really low moment for you in your look-ahead career stats, I do want to say. But Treylon Burks, like, I'm more concerned about that. That, like, Tannehill, Malik Willis, you'll figure it out. You'll be fine. But this Treylon Burks pick, of all the receivers taken, I'm higher on Jamison Williams, and I know he's going to miss time. I mean, like, there's obviously a reason to be high on him, but, like, I feel way more comfortable about that, even though he's going to miss time, than I do Treylon Burks. He played into the fourth quarter of the first preseason game as the first-round pick. That's just a little – you think Chris Olave's playing into the first round or fourth quarter for the Saints? No. Like, it just it all smells kind of weird. I will say that.
He has not had a good start to his career. He had to ask out of the first practice in June. And
I thought that was overblown.
And now what do you think? Do you think it's overblown now, knowing what you know?
I don't think he's out of shape. I think he's just maybe not good. Those are different things. So,
I don't know, man.
I mean, do you have any hard Titans thoughts?
Yeah, my hard Titans thought is get rid of Ryan Tannehill and turn it over to Malik Willis. Who cares if he's raw? Great, let him be raw this year. Let him be raw. There's no what is the point of going with Ryan Tannehill for another year? You obviously thought something had to change because you drafted Malik Willis in the first place. Like, what is the benefit to your franchise, especially now with A.J. Brown being gone? If Malik Willis is terrible, then great.
Yeah, I would argue
draft somebody else.
Having, like, if the only situation or the only variable is that you drafted Malik Willis, then you know, I wouldn't agree with you as much, but like you traded away AJ Brown. You know what I mean? Like I don't, the Titans really are the Cowboys foil in the AFC. Like they're the only like playoff team who got worse. You know what I'm saying? Like if you look at all the four AFC division winners, and maybe you could argue the Chiefs, but like, if again, they've also earned the benefit of the doubt. Right. And not only did they like, yes, they traded away Tyreek Hill, but they also like, what did they do? They were like, well, we traded away Tyreek Hill, so let's sign Marquez Valdes-Scantling and Juju Smith-Schuster, and we'll draft Sky Moore. Like we'll replenish just like they did with their offensive line a year ago. You know, the Cowboys are like, well, we're just going to cut Lyle Collins and we're going to trade Amari Cooper and like we'll be better. Like you know, it's like no, like what goes up must go down. But anyway, of the four division winners in the AFC, you could certainly argue the Bills got better. You could certainly argue the Bengals got better. You could certainly argue the Chiefs at least maintained the status quo. The Titans, I don't think there's any argument that they got worse. And so that's why they really are the foil. But like I'm not like concerned about Dak Prescott obviously, but to that point it's like if you're going to be worse then yeah, like just be bad or just experiment. You know what I mean? Be like, you know, be like the Patriots. You're learning, you're growing, you're developing. And I don't think the rookie contract is as valuable as I used to think it was. It's certainly, I would much rather have a quarterback on a rookie contract than a big time contract. But what's more valuable for me is the experience associated with learning and growing and developing. Because I can tell you what, I know one dude who's like, I wish that Trey Lance had a year's worth of experience as a starting quarterback in the NFL as opposed to none when this is an important year. So I would much rather be in that boat than, like, how many teams have been in this boat? I guess your comp has always been Patrick Mahomes. But, I mean, it's just that, like, that the Niners ran with Trey Lance.
It's just absurd. Why delay everything? What must be done eventually must be done immediately. Let's go here. It's so stupid. Like you could have used last year, if you're the 49ers, as Trey Lance's year, right? He's raw. Get all the growing pains out. Then you come into this season with this roster around him, and you could have been like, damn, man, we're going to compete for a Super Bowl. The 49ers are not winning the Super Bowl this year. They're not. I think they're going to be very good, but they're not going to win the Super Bowl. But you might have if you had played Trey Lance for all 17 games last year, but they didn't do that. And so now you just delay the inevitable growing pains.
I can't wait for like week 6 when Trey Lance is coming off of a like 11 for 32 performance for 138 yards with one touchdown and 3 interceptions. And Kyle says in his post. Well, no, but and the part I can't wait for is Kyle singing his post-game press conference, some version of like, you guys got to understand, it takes time to grow in the NFL, and what we're seeing from Trey is totally normal. Like, I cannot wait to talk to you after that particular press conference. I have one more thing. It wasn't on our rundown, if you're okay with it.
All right.
So I mentioned Jameson Williams. Did you see that he is wearing number 9 for the Detroit Lions?
I did see that, but I actually read that he called Matthew Stafford and asked if it was okay. Now, that's cool that Stafford's cool with it, but the Lions never should have allowed this.
That's 100% my point. 100%. So why? What? Like, give us your like explanation how you feel about this, because like this is, you know, people feel different ways about this.
Because Matthew Stafford is the greatest quarterback in franchise history, and you don't just give his number to some random dude. You retire his number. Every team should have the best quarterback in their franchise's history number retired, unless you just don't retire any numbers, which as far as I know, the Lions are not one of those teams, because who the hell's number would they have to retire other than Barry Sanders and maybe Calvin Johnson? So this is just weird. This just shows like you're not, it comes off almost like you're like a little brother franchise. Like you're not, you don't know how to run things properly.
Well, it's like I put you in the same box as the Arizona Cardinals, who retire like other franchises' legends as their own in their ring of honor. I agree. I know that they're mostly Lions. Like, obviously, like you and I don't have like a real passionate, like, you know, sort of case for this. But if I was a Lions fan, I wouldn't be like outraged. Like, I wouldn't like hate Jameson Williams or anything like that. But I would be pissed. I would be like, look, why are you doing this? Like, you know, it would bother me, like in the way like stuff bothers football fans. And the whole, and I understand this actually takes advantage of the new rule, but the whole reason for opening up single digit numbers, I was told, was to allow for more flexibility so that players wouldn't have to be stuck with particular numbers or whatever the case may be, blah, blah, blah. And that was happening at camp when rosters were 90 players. They didn't, the poor Kansas City Chiefs didn't know what to do. They had no numbers to hand out to people. And now they let Sky Moore wear number 24 as a receiver. It's so stupid. But And I understand the reports were that Jameson wanted a single digit number, right? And that was the only single digit available. You know what, Jameson? Maybe you wait. Maybe you just wait till cuts are in, because you're making the squad, Jameson. Like, you know, breaking news here. You should just wait. Or Lions, you make somebody else change. Last year when the Cowboys drafted Micah Parsons, they made Cedric Wilson change numbers. I mean, they were not going to let him not have 11. And speaking of the Cowboys, I was in a similar boat a year ago. Jalen Smith paid. He actually, this was when, remember the veterans that they wanted to change, they had to pay financially to change jersey numbers if they wanted to. And he paid money, his own money, to change from 54, which is a story number in Cowboys franchise history, by the way, to 9. Only to not even make it through, you know, half of the season with the team. But I was, and like, it's a little bit different because a lot of Cowboys fans were not fond of Jalen Smith at the time. So it's like, it was almost as if like the worst possible person imaginable was doing this. So, and Jameson is like really beloved, so it's very different. But it really irked a lot of people to see Tony Romo's number 9 handed out. And interestingly enough, it's been handed out since. It's on their one of their kickers, Lareem Hairuelohu now. So, but there are some numbers that has a 49ers player ever worn number 8 or 16?
No.
Right,
man. They're retired.
Well, I don't know about you, but like, or about the Niners, but the Cowboys actually have never retired a number. There's just some that they don't hand out. And 9, you know, for the Cowboys deserve to be in that group. And it certainly deserves to be in that group for the Lions. Like, and it's not just like in general, like Matthew Stafford's no longer like a part of the team. He just won the Super Bowl. Like, it's just a weird energy. And I'm not saying it's like unappreciative of Matthew Stafford or anything like that, but like, I don't know. And I know our friends at Pride of Detroit are seemingly cool with it. So if they're cool, then I guess that's what matters the most. But like,
there's things like you can do, right? So you could retire somebody's number, or you could do like the unofficial retirement where you just don't let anybody wear it. It's not officially retired, but you don't let anybody wear it. I feel like that's a good middle ground. If you don't want to retire the number, you could still honor a great player by just leaving it off limits for a few years. Matthew Stafford's been on the Rams for a year. What the hell, man? You could have at least given him two years would have been okay.
Stats, I just sent you a message as we wrap this up. I sent it to Brandon as well because we were tagged in a tweet. Nico on Twitter at Herndez, H-E-R-N-D-E-Z, then capital B, 37, tweeted that he is watching the look ahead with you and I while making a breakfast sandwich. He also asked if it was Brandon Gowden approved. So for the podcast audience, Stats, I need you to describe this sandwich in this photo and then let us know if it is approved by you and I, even though Nico did not ask for our approval, only Brandon's.
Okay, so what we have here is looking like a breakfast sandwich on some nice, thicker bread. This doesn't look like your regular Wonder Bread.
Thank you for letting us know that it was a breakfast sandwich, because the tweet did not say that. So thank you for letting us know, Stats. Great job.
And it looks like we got some scrambled eggs and some scallions, which I like. Looks like there could be some cheese in there, too. And you've got a healthy quantity of meat here. Is that bologna, maybe? Fried bologna or ham? Or maybe some bacon too underneath the eggs? I'm not sure.
I see. It looks like bacon's under the eggs, and it looks like the cheese is under what I believe to be the ham.
There you go. So you've got, it's a bacon, egg, and cheese sandwich with ham. And I love the scallions. Scallions are good on anything, man. That is a nice looking sandwich. And I like the fact that I like the fact that you've got real bread there. Like, don't give me the crap Wonder Bread. People always sell the bread short. Bread is a massively important element of the sandwich.
I agree. Bread is just important to, like, any aesthetic, not just a sandwich, but, like, you can tell a restaurant's going to be good if the bread is good. You know what I'm saying? The other day, like, my last point on the Astros, the Astros traded for Trey Mancini at the deadline, and he's been awesome, but Dusty Baker won't play him because he's a good baseball player, and why would you want to play a good baseball player? So I don't know. Mancini had a grand slam last weekend in Cleveland, and so one of the Astros fan accounts I followed tweeted something like Mancini's, and I tweeted back. I was like, you could just tell Mancini's would have good bread. Like, just like if that was like a restaurant, like if it was called Mancini's, like do you agree? Like, you could just tell, like, oh yeah, Mancini's, they got great bread. Like, it just feels right.
If they didn't have good bread, I would be disappointed for sure. Mm. Since we're talking baseball, this was the story of the night. Last night was the Field of Dreams game. Before we go, RJ, where do you stand on holograms of people who are no longer with us? because if, for people that don't know, sorry, for people that don't know, they use a hologram of Harry Carey, the old Cubs announcer, singing Take Me Out to the Ball Game during the seventh inning stretch. Harry Carey, of course, died several years ago.
Like a lot of things in life, multiple things can be true. I think it's a testament to our technological advances as a society that we can even do this, right? Like, that's kind of cool. I think it's a little weird. You know what I mean? Like, I get it if you want to do it for something, but like, if you want to make it the focal point of something, not exactly my cup of tea. So I think it's okay, but it's, you know, I wouldn't do it. It's really kind of where I fall.
Just because we can do it doesn't mean that we should. Like, do we really need... Harry Carey died in 1998, I believe. Do we really need Harry Carey singing the seventh inning? Like, is that what that game was missing last night? I don't know. I don't like it. I know the NFL did something with Vince Lombardi. Just stop it.
Yeah. Well, like, and that's the thing. Like, if you want to make like a montage video or something like that to play before something, and you want to include like some voiceover stuff, like, I'm cool with that. On the same, on a similar subject, if you allow me to ask you one last thing, are you aware of Selena, the Tejano artist who was murdered in the mid '90s? She was 25 years old. She was just an incredibly popular Tejano singer, obviously among Mexican audiences. She was a trailblazer in many ways, and she was murdered when she was 25 years old. There's a movie where Jennifer Lopez played her. Her music is still widely popular, obviously among many people. There was a Netflix series about her. There's been all sorts of like other, you know, pieces of content made about her, and I believe because her family like oversees all these properties and I guess the estate or whatever, and I believe I saw a tweet about this last week. They are releasing like a new album with some like I guess maybe never before heard type of stuff, whatever. But apparently they have used some sort of process to digitally age her voice to like what it would have sounded like as an older person. Does that make sense? You know, like
that's
I think
terrible.
Like that's. That's a weird twist on it. So I don't know.
I don't like it. And I don't even like it when they get permission to do it. Like, I know they did it with Princess Leia in one of the new Star Wars movies because Carrie Fisher had died.
Right.
Admiral Tarkin, he was like a character in the movie. They had like lines and was walking around. It's like, this person is dead. What are we doing here? It's weird. Maybe I'm the old dude in the room. You know, if you get the family approval, I guess it's fine. But I just... There's no shortage of actors and actresses. We have people to do these things. We don't need holograms of other actors. Like, just stop it. Just because you can doesn't mean you should. All right, RJ. I'm going to try and get in a better mood because I want to watch Trey Lance tonight. Probably throw for, I want to be fair. I'm going to say like probably only like 6 or 7 touchdowns
37
tonight.
Yards. 37 yards. He's going to run a touchdown in. That's my prediction. I will ask you the last thing I will say on this episode. What are you eating for the game? It's your first, it's a preseason, so maybe it's a warm up for you too, but what are you eating? It's your first Niners game, technically speaking, of the year. You've been waiting a long time for this. It's the Trey Lance era. What's on the menu?
I think we're going barbecue chicken, like a pulled barbecue chicken sandwich with a beer and some chips.
If you don't serve it on a tray, like if you don't have a tray, I mean, what are you doing?
A tray and it's got like it's a football tray. It's got like X's and O's on it. So we're all set. Don't worry about the Guerrero house, man. We're good.
Okay. Robbie G is in control.
Don't call me Robbie. I absolutely hate that. Please continue, rate, review, follow the SB Nation NFL show. Leave us your favorite pregame meal. Once the regular season starts, if you don't know, RJ, I go with the 3 H's. Do you remember?
Heineken?
Yep.
Is that one of them? Haagen-Dazs?
Yes.
And I hope not in that order. I can do this. Hot wings.
Yeah, there you go.
Let's go.
Hot wings, Haagen-Dazs. In that order. Trust me, I'll never steer you wrong. Let us know your favorite meal. Leave it in your review on Apple Pods, and we will happily, happily read it on the show. RJ, you have a great weekend. I will talk to you on Monday.
Broncos country. That's right.